Hello and welcome back to the Greater Greener Georgia podcast, and Happy New Year. It is 2025, and as always, our goal is to get Georgia to 100% clean renewable energy by the year 2050. And one of the ways that we do that is through legislative action. Here today, I have Connie DeSico, Georgia Conservation Voters Political Director, here to talk with us about just that. Connie, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing, Christian?
Doing good. Just coming back from the holidays, getting, you know, acclimated back to things. Tell me something fun you did over the holidays.
Something fun. My family got together and we all made an Italian pastry called Angel Wings, which our colleague Mia described as Italian funnel cakes. They look like little bow ties. You have to roll the dough out, cut them special and fold them, and then fry them and put honey and powdered sugar on them. So they are fine.
So I guess we just didn't get any. We didn't get any from the holidays. You didn't save us any. That's fine.
Next year.
So we're going to jump right in. As you all know, legislative session has begun. By the time you are viewing this, it will be January 14th and one day into legislative session. So what we want to do is kind of help set folks up for what to expect this legislative session from an environmental standpoint. So I'll jump right in here. Question number one, what are GCV's top environmental priorities for the 2025 legislative session?
Well, I love the setup. Expect the unexpected for legislative session. Today is the first day of the 2025 legislative session. Our priorities are to reintroduce our 100% clean energy by 2050 resolution. So that will go through the House and the Senate, hopefully. We are also looking to introduce a community solar bill.
Fine.
As well as reintroduce a consumer utility council bill. We used to have a consumer utility council within the PSC, and we are looking to reintroduce and reinstitute the consumer utility council.
So I remember this CUC bill. For our viewers who it may be your first time or you may just need a reminder, could you remind us what this CUC is, what it is set up to do?
I like to say this is Council SEL, not CIL. So this is a representative, like legal counsel for people. The PSC used to have this office within it many decades ago so that consumers would be advocated for and represented legally for PSC related issues. And that's what we're trying to do, is have that kind of representation once again.
Nice. Okay. That's helpful. And I'm glad to see that, like, revisiting this. Mm-hmm. I think so much stuff got like lost in the sauce last year. Mm-hmm. We know how it is. Luckily for us, this is not a major presidential election year, and I think a lot of the noise will have died down so people can actually focus on some local and state initiatives. So how does this upcoming session compare to previous years? As I just mentioned, a perfect segue. Tell us how this legislative session may compare or differ from previous years.
Well, today was the first day of session, and what's been nice to see is that there's been a lot more excitement around environmental issues. The Ogeefenokee Swamp, that has been a perennial issue, and there is more excitement around that again. We're hearing about that again, but there's also been a lot more issues around data centers, which are an environmental issue. Data centers and energy burden, because data centers use a tremendous amount of energy and tax our energy grid, as well as water for data centers to cool the data centers. There's also been a lot of talk around water issues in general with regards to PFAS, as well as water rights to float. There'll be a lot of talk around those issues, as well as the issues that we're bringing up with solar. There was a lot of talk over the summer, even with a special study committee regarding community solar. So it's nice to see these issues being focused on early and talked about early in the session.
And that's another really good segue, because the next question I have is talking about what trends in public opinion or political momentum do you see influencing environmental policies this year? And obviously one of them is the data centers, right? We're using so much more data. Are there any other trends or public opinion trends that may kind of influence action this year?
You know, the a lot of the talk is around AI, cryptocurrency. These are very big trends. EVs as well. That's a lot of the scuttlebutt that's been going around very early on, just within the first day and, you know, the first few weeks of previewing the session.
Yeah, I just saw something today, actually, about Ossoff and pushing forward expansion of electric vehicle charging stations in DeKalb. I literally just saw that before we hopped on. So that's kind of giving a nice little hint to what to expect from that level. And, you know, we can talk here. We talked a little bit about this last year from a different space. But with the new administration, are we expecting, in your personal opinion, this doesn't have to be your professional opinion, are we expecting any changes in funding from the federal government?
That is such a good question. And in listening to a lot of the calls, there is funding currently. Now, whether that funding is going to stay where it is or whether it's going to be taken away remains to be seen. And so we'll see. And I think that we'll see very early on. That's my personal opinion, whether or not that's going to be, that funding will remain.
My next question for you, Connie, is how does GCV plan to tackle resistance from industries and lawmakers opposing these stricter environmental regulations?
You know, we've been talking with a lot of fellow lobbyists at a lot of events and also down at the Capitol. One thing that I've been hearing and learning about is it's not always about the resistance. It's about the bill itself. And so, and it might sound Pollyanna-ish, but it is finding out what the resistance is actually about. And a fellow lobbyist was talking about it's the why. What's the why in the bill? He gave an example of working with a legislator about a domestic violence bill. And he was saying, what's the why? You're telling me that you think I might not like the bill, but what are we working towards within the bill? And sometimes we can get to something deeper if we're just asking some questions. And so that's kind of the tack that Doug, who is our other lobbyist, we're going to be taking, is to ask some questions. You know, we may not be able to get the full wish list all the time, depending on the resistance, but what's the why? What are we trying to get to? And I did speak to another lobbyist today, and she was saying, you know, I work for two different groups, and in this case, they're both opposed. You know, they're on opposing sides. And so I have to be agnostic and can't take a position. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, well, wait a minute. What? There's a separate issue outside of this, and one of your groups is for it. So could we connect them and put the two groups together that way? That might be an avenue. So it's the why, and it's a little bit of, I know we love corporate speak, but outside of the box thinking. It's kind of coming at it from a different angle and seeing where the opportunities are.
Yeah, see, what I like to think, and I think what most people think about policies and how they're made and how they're voted on, is that there should be some type of compromise across parties. That's how it should be, right? This may be idealistically thinking, but I feel like that doesn't often feel that way when you're in the heat of it. And this is my personal experience on the Capitol premises. It's always like black or white, yes or no. And we know that there are ways to modify bills and to change the language so that they maybe accommodate, you know, more parties or help us cross party lines.
Context is everything. So I can't say 100% of the time it's consensus, but, you know, technically, Christian, you're right. Like it does. It takes both sides to get a bill passed. I mean, that's really the way that it's supposed
that's
to work.
That's the Schoolhouse Rock version. That's what I was taught.
I mean, that's So I agree with you, and that's our goal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of polarization just in our nation, but in our state as well, and how we agree on certain things. I'll give you a perfect case in point. You know, people have differing, varying views on the electric vehicles, right? On the one end, they're really expensive. So you may see some legislation coming down about like lowering the cost of these things. But then it goes into the factories that actually create these vehicles. And then are they creating jobs? And so it seems like somebody could stand to benefit from a bunch of different areas. But then here in Georgia, you know, the other viewpoint could simply be it's prioritizing electric vehicles and then maybe putting other people out of jobs or out of work. And right. I think this is some of the rhetoric that we hear from both sides. And it gets convoluted sometimes where you feel like you can't take a side of one without like going against the side of another.
Making an enemy of the other side. Exactly.
Right. And so, yeah, we definitely want to kind of see how that goes going into some of this stuff. So I don't want to take up all of your time today, but I do want to talk to you about maybe some of the advocacy days that Georgia Conservation Voters has coming up at the Capitol.
I'm so glad you asked. We are looking forward to Monday, January 27th, which is our 100% Renewable Georgia Advocacy Day. This is early on in the session. We're looking forward to previewing the legislation that we're hoping to draft. And hopefully our 100% clean energy resolution has already been drafted and dropped. And we would like to invite you to the Capitol. It is the People's House, so come on down, have lunch with us, get a picture on the Capitol steps. We're going to have a press conference and meet with some of our legislators as well. So this is a great opportunity to come and speak. We're going to have our coalition partners there as well to talk about some of their initiatives legislatively and explore what our vision is for the future of Georgia related to clean energy and renewable resources.
We will definitely be there, and we hope to see you there. Thank you so much, Connie, again. And we will continue this conversation later on in the session and see how it varies and differs from today's conversation.
How I look differently. Oh, thank you so much. This was a
thank you so much, Connie.
Fun.
Thank you all, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Imagine a future where energy is safe and abundant.
No more asthma from the smog.
No more using fans because the AC costs too much.
Where you can go outside and just breathe.
At DCV, we don't just believe in that future, we're actually building it.
Georgia is seeing historic federal action to make that future a reality.
Our state has already secured nearly $30 billion in new clean energy investments.
$38 billion.
Leading to over 30,000 new jobs.
That's good news, but we still have work to do.
We're one of only 11 states.
11 states.
11 states.
That haven't committed to 100% safe, low-cost energy.
To make this vision a reality, we need pro-climate champions at the state and local levels.
We're in this for our parents,
our friends,
and children.
This is about us. Join DCV today by visiting www.gcvoters.org.